Please do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the changing of the showbread and for blessing us with truth. Thank you for letting it be settled deep in our hearts, too, as a heavenly garden of truth. Please bless everyone that's in attendance today. Please bridle my tongue and any tongue that may speak, so the truth as you would have it proclaimed would be proclaimed perfectly. Thank you for forgiving us when we fall short in sin. And thank you for cleansing us from all unrighteousness, giving us new robes and new names too. And Father, we pray as you instruct us in your word for that latter rain. We want to be able to go forth and glorify you. No matter what mankind tries to do, we want to go forth like the apostles did, like John the Baptist did, like all the patriarchs and prophets did. We want to be part of that number. So thank you, Father, for blessing us. And all those that are on our prayer list, please bless them in a special way too, especially the ones that are lost with salvation, those that need healing, be it spiritual or physical, and even those that come against us. We forgive them, Father, because that is right to do, because we want to be forgiven. But we forgive them because it's right and because we love them, just like you love us. It would be nice to see them with smiles on their faces, walking on a beautiful path in your kingdom. And so thank you, Father, for blessing this Sabbath day in a special way and letting us be alive in these last days and seeing all that's happening right before our eyes. And we offer this prayer to you in the best of our ability, which falls far short of the name we pray in. And that name is your Son, our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. And Brother James reminded me of something that, in regards to that license. Now, you can just see the craftiness of Satan that Prophet Daniel talked about in Daniel 8:25. And I mean, it's just all over the place in today's world now with their strange politics. And a lot of people don't seem to realize that they're setting it all up for a new world order. And like with these false flag attacks, even though real people are dying, sometimes they're setting it up so that they can cause the terror to get the laws to pass so that they can prevent the try to prevent the loud cry. But and for them to call Islam a religion, it's just a joke. It's just it's a political movement. It's not, it has nothing to do with religion. It's all just blood. That's all it is. But getting back to that licensing thing, because I just put an article on the site about this yesterday, I believe. And they're trying to push for extremists or anybody now to have a license. But they're starting with the extremist thing because everybody's going to agree, yeah, let's get the license for them. And once they get that, that's how they trick everybody. It's okay, once we get the license for them, we may as well get the license for everybody else. Because that's only fair. That's political correctness. And so, yeah. And but Brother James, like I said, reminded me, I'm just going to read his PM to me. It says, speaking of Iman being licensed in Europe, you know that Bunyan gent who wrote Pilgrim's Progress? He did 10-plus years in prison for preaching without a license. And I wouldn't be surprised to see it come to America. And that's exactly what their plans are. You know, I mean, they're trying it already with a 501c3. They've been harassing me for years because I refuse to get one. And, you know, like PayPal has shut my account down 3 times. That's why I don't use it anymore. And but it's going to get pretty intense, and I hope and pray that it, you know, we're part of the good end of things. So but anyway, getting back to this sermon series we're doing here, next week will probably be part 3. Is you know, the final prophecies that are happening all around us today. Like this next one I want to touch on in regards to the wound being healed. But in order to illustrate the wound of the beast being healed, we must first illustrate how the beast comes to power and is then wounded before seeing how it is actually healed. And these prophecies, you know, they have to be followed in the order by which they're written to be able to accurately identify the beast that gets the wound, so this is the best way to do it. But all too often, false prophets and teachers like to twist prophetic facts so as to hide the identity of the beast because, they not only pander to him, they benefit politically by associating with him. And when speaking of the Roman Catholic Vatican and its prophesied global powers as the fourth and final, you know, government, a global government, we find this in Bible prophecy. In Daniel 7:25, it says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time." Then in Revelation 12, verse 6 and Revelation 13, 5 repeats this, but with different language, of course. It says, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they would feed her there 1,260 days." And there's a page on my website about Sabbath-keeping Christians all the way from the beginning of the Christian church. So I do believe that's that woman, because there are a lot of Christians that were Sabbath keepers that Rome never messed with. The Lord just kept him well hidden. And it's just like with Elijah, thinking he was all alone. You know, no. God's people are out there so as to keep the truth flowing in the world. He's going to protect you. And then Revelation 13, 5 says, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So as we see in these passages, Revelation 13, 5 speaks of this time being 42 months. Well, these 42 months of Revelation 13, 5 and the time and times and dividing of time of Daniel 7:25 actually equal the exact same time span in human history. I mean, basic realities is that 42 months actually equates to 3.5 years, 3.5 years. And doing the math, if you divide 42 months by 12 months for each year, you get 3.5 years in total. But looking closely at Daniel's declaration, we also see that he said it will be a time, which is 1 year, a times, that's 2 years, and a dividing of a time. Well, that's a half a year, or 6 months. So again, doing the math, we see the time of times and dividing of time is the same thing as the 3.5 years that the 42 months that John spoke of, and then, of course, the 1,203 score days. Well, that's actually 1,260 days. And 42 months or 3.5 years actually equals 1,260 days. If you just take 42, I mean, you just do the math, okay? 42 times 30 comes out to 1,260. Still, some will be led by Rome to say that 42 months does not equal 1,260 days because all our months do not equal 30 days each. Well, you remember the prophecy about him changing times and laws, so that's why he did it. He's got to keep this stuff hidden. A lot of people don't seem to realize that, Daniel predicted this in Daniel 7:25, that he's going to, the Vatican's going to not only mess with the Sabbath, you know, the laws of God, but he's also going to mess with the changing of the times, which also points back to the law of God, too, because it was the, you know, seventh day of the week. They say it's the first. But I'm not going to go into all that because, you know, I'm just trying to keep this sermon series short so as to get to as much truth into that without having to explain all of Rome's fault or all. But if you're new to this truth, see the link that's in box number 7 of the sermon notes that's titled "Antichrist Will Rule 1,260 Years" for an in-depth look at how, in prophecy, we are told to use the Hebrew calendar when calculating time because that's the only calendar they used when the Old and New Testament was written. And that calendar only has 360 days because each month was exactly 30 days. It wasn't based on the cycles of the moon. The feast days were set on that, yeah, but a lot of stuff was no. You didn't have specific changes in each month. It was just 30 days straight, each one. So we now have a time span. Wherein the Vatican is to rule and kill Christians, according to Daniel and then two prophetic statements from John. But according to the Bible, it's only going to last 1,260 days. However, so as to, and this is a lot where these false prophets like to use this and take it out of context and say, well, that's 3.5 years. Only. So you're going to have a 3.5 year tribulation. And some go so far as to call it a 7 year tribulation, which the Jesuits did. Which I go into detail on my 7 year factor fiction page, you know, 7 year trib factor fiction page, because they take the week of Daniel, which is when Jesus is baptized and Stephen is stoned. That's 7 exact years, because in the midst of that week, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for sins of his own. That's what the prophet Daniel said. But anyway, again, all that information is around the links in box number 7. So, however, so as to prevent the wicked and the lazy, uninterested Bible students from finding out the truth on this when it comes to the 1,260 days, because the fact of the matter is only the obedient people of God can be trusted to understand this, because the Lord knows they're going to run with it once they discover it. When it comes to 1,260 days, our Bibles say a day in prophecy actually equals 1 year. God literally says this in Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 6. He says, I've appointed thee each day for a year. And then in Numbers chapter 14, verse 34, he says, after the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year. So you've got, you know, what you need. So according to Ezekiel 4, 6 and Numbers 14, 34, that's exactly 1,260 years that papal Rome would reign with a bloodthirsty rule so as to kill as many Christians as they possibly can. And yes, as I've learned over the years, some will say that that is just my opinion or my own private interpretation. They will say that the only way this day for a year calculation can be valid is if actual historic record proves it out. And that's where they mess up, because I do homework. So first, we need to find out the exact year to see if this really did happen, right? We need to find out the exact year that the Roman Catholic Church became a woman on a beast and capable of ruling in both a political as well as a religious realm. Without political and religious power, she cannot hope to rule with an iron fist, because if only being political, the church would generate all sorts of valid issues, and I'm talking other churches, not just because Rome claims to be a church, but all the other churches are going to generate all sorts of issues to prevent them, and it would cripple them in regards to their agenda to go forth and do as she pleases. And if Rome was only a church, then the political leaders would also be a brick wall of opposition that would find her quite incapable of going forth as she was prophesied to be. So that being said, when did the Vatican become a church and state power? A lot of people said it came when Jesus resurrected and the Christian church started on Sunday keeping, but no. There's a page on my website called 321 AD. You might want to check that out. There ain't no real Christians were keeping Sunday back then, for hundreds of years, in fact. But anyway, in the History of the Christian Church, Volume 3, page 321, or 327, it says, Vigilius ascended the papal chair in 538 AD under the military protection of Belisarius. So according to the historic records, the Roman Church, or the papal chair, as they identify it here, ascended to political power via the military might of Belisarius. That means the Roman Catholic papacy began its reign in 538 AD under Emperor Justinian's decree, who put forth the military protection of Belisarius. Therefore, and I go into detail about this, of course, on the site. I'm trying to keep this short, because most people in here already understand this. But there's a reason I have to go through this in regards to the wound being healed, because that's the prophecy that we have seen in our lifetime happen. So, with the 538 AD starting point, the Bible says the beast will rule for exactly 1,260 years, if our calculation is correct in regards to a day equals a year. And then it has to receive a mortal wound. Now, it's just a simple mathematics. I mean, it's also the grand method by which to see the Lord glorified, because a lot of people don't seem to realize that some of the prophecies in the Bible are dated. It wasn't until the end times began that dated prophecy was done. We know what's going to happen next. We just don't know when. So if the prophecy is correct, 1,260 years after 538 AD, the beast must somehow receive a mortal wound. Well, did this happen? Can Christian prophecy be that accurate? Well, if you add 1,260 years to 538 AD, you're going to arrive in the exact year of 1798. So did anything happen then? And this is what's called eschatology, when you take a prophetic statement in the Bible and look in historic record to see if there's, you know, to see if it happened. So did it happen? Well, from the Encyclopedia Britannica, and I reuse this one on purpose. You know, I liked using the Encyclopedia Britannica because a lot of people trust it. And this is the 1941 edition, by the way. But I use it because just about every mom and pop knows it's a trusted source of historic records, especially when you get the older versions. The newer ones have a tendency to, you know, drop the ball a few times, because you could see the Vatican getting involved, because the Vatican is very powerful in regards to rewriting history books. Boy, they're really good at it. I mean, I saw that firsthand when I was 17 years old, or 16, I think it was, when they started asking me to do some assignments in history class in high school. I said, this isn't how I read it when I was a kid in the encyclopedias. This ain't at all like it. Somebody's hiding some stuff here. But this is what it says. It says in 1798, General Berthier made his entrance into Rome, abolished the papal government, that's the political end of it, and then established a secular one. That's exactly 42 prophetic months, or 1,260 years, as the prophet John saw it, and a time and a times and a half a time that Daniel saw. It happened in the exact year. This is why Daniel's always been my favorite prophet, because he makes my job so easy. He actually gives dates. Better yet, the prophecy also described how the Pope was going to die and how he's going to be removed. Revelation 13:3-10. It says, "And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. And he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword." So the Lord saw fit to illustrate the fact that if it was the popes of Rome doing all this, then the prophecy of Revelation 13 also has to be fulfilled, wherein it says the beast must go into captivity and die there after losing its power. And die by the hand of military, by the way. Because they always used the civil power to kill those Christians during the Inquisitions. So did this happen? Well, yeah, the Pope did in fact die the following year. It was stated in writing back then that half of Europe thought that with the Pope dead, the papacy was dead. And Joseph Rickaby stated that in The Modern Papacy on his Lectures on History and Religion in lecture number 24. And you can also get that out of the London Catholic Truth Society of 1910 on page 1. So there's still some things they haven't been able to burn yet in regards to some of these books. So moving on, so as to get to the reason I'm sharing all this. Later in the prophecy of our Lord, we find that the papacy is once again to receive its power to rule as well as kill Christians in the end, right before our Lord returns. And again, it says again in Revelation 13:3, and I'm repeating, of course, yes, but it says, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." And I emphasize the word "and" here for a reason. In the San Francisco Chronicle of February 11, 1929, it says this, and this is the headline. It says, "Mussolini and Cardinal Gasparri sign historic Roman pact." Well, actually, it just said Gasparri. I put in Cardinal, because it was Roman Catholic Cardinal Gasparri that was there. And this is what I just got an excerpt out of it, and it says, "The Roman question tonight was a thing of the past, and the Vatican was at peace with Italy. In affixing the autographs to the memorable document, healing the wound of many years, extreme cordiality was displayed on both sides." Now, that's their assumption, because the wound wasn't healed, but it was scabbing over. But they're claiming it healed because they had to flex their muscles. When Mussolini and Gasparri signed that pact, the Vatican became a church of state power once again, just as the prophecy predicted. So, according to the Bible, this means the papacy is going to come to power, lose its power, and then regain its power. Well, does Bible prophecy outline these prophetic events, and can it be that accurate again? Well, check out Revelation 17, verse 8. It says, "Behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is." I remember the first time I read that, I thought, whoa, what does that mean? And so I went into study, and I found that the beast that was is the Roman Catholic Church, starting in 538 AD, which remains in power until 1798, when Napoleon sent in Berthier. The beast that is not is from the time of 1798 to 1929, when the Pope had no political power at all. The beast that yet is now, from 1929 to present day, where the Roman Catholic Church has been a church and state for 87 years now. This prophecy is so blunt and so to the point, there's no need of explaining it if, in fact, the one studying these facts has already investigated the three previous prophecies that define each state of this beast's existence throughout history. But now we come to our day, when, as students of prophecy, we have been waiting for a sign that shows the mortal wound was finally healed. Well, back in January of 2014, I made a video titled, "The Wound is Healed." The link to it's in box number 7 of the sermon notes, by the way. In that video, I show how all the world is in fact wondering after the present Pope, as if he is a god on earth. Now, don't get me wrong. They've been following the lead of the Pope since 1929, when the Vatican became a church and state power. But it wasn't until Jesuit Pope Francis that the Pope's popularity went off the chart globally. Even Hollywood has been promoting him. And this includes actors that are atheist, Buddhist, and Muslim. Many videos have been posted by Hollywood stating how much they admire this pope. One in particular is one of these, you know, Hollywood types who happens to be very blasphemous and anti-Christian. Is a guy named Jim Carrey. He stated on Twitter the following. He says, "I'm not religious, Pope Francis, but I like the cut of your jib." Right? So, plus all the major magazines like Newsweek and Time magazine promoted him as a, you know, man of the year. And one of them did it twice. And then there's one magazine that no one would have ever expected to chime in and declare the Pope an amazing man. And that was Rolling Stone magazine. And the reason I mention them is because that magazine is filled with all sorts of satanic promotion. They are the prime example on earth of all that is unholy. But they too now declare the Pope someone to follow. I actually use their cover in that video showing that the wound was healed. So how do I know the wound is healed? Well, every major news source, every major Hollywood producer, every music producer, and every politician on earth, including some that are very anti-Christian, are all promoting this Pope. Even the Seventh-day Adventist Church, a church that was once used of God to educate the people about present truth about the popes of Rome being Antichrist, are not only defending and promoting him, they have pastors calling him holy leader on camera. Or a holy man of God. They won't go so far as to call him holy father. I haven't caught them do that yet. But hopefully one day, well, I hope they never do, but if they do, I hope I get a copy of it. But one has to wonder, why Christians are hated so much all over the world, and 200,000 Christians are killed every single solitary year simply because they are Christian, yet someone like the Pope, who claims to be a Christian, is so loved by the very same people that openly state they hate Christians? It's not oxymoronic. It's because the wound's been healed. I mean, think about it for a minute. Muslims hate and kill Christians, yet they love the Pope. They've stated as such. Hollywood hates and persecutes and even mocks Christian in a lot of their movies. Yet they're chiming in saying they love the Pope. Politicians pass laws that persecute and mock Christians, even here in the United States of America. Yet they love the Pope. Rock musicians hate and violently blaspheme Jesus in their music. They even use backward masking, slamming our Lord. Yet they love the Pope in Rolling Stone magazine. And the churches that claim to be Christians persecute those that really are Christians. Yet they, too, love the Pope. Now reread Revelation 13, verse 3, where it says his deadly wound was healed and all the world wondered after the beast. The Bible said the wound is healed and then all the world wonders after the beast. Doesn't say you got to wonder first and then the wound's healed. No, the wound has to be healed, and once it's healed, then they're going to wonder after him. And this includes all the world, like I just mentioned. The fact they're all openly wondering after him on camera, on Twitter, in books, in magazines, in newscasts, daytime shows, sitcoms, books, and anywhere else you could think of, and Twitter and all that other stuff, now proves the wound has been healed, because none of this can happen until the wound was healed. And what amazes me is the churches that used, like the Ninth Hour Church that used to preach prophecy, especially for tomorrow, they never caught this. Not a single SDA church out there has ever stated the wound is healed. They say it's healing. Well, it's been healing since 1929, but now it's healed. The scab's gone. Now, this next one is in regards to the 10 tolls of Daniel. As many of you already know, I got a few videos about this prophecy coming to fruition in our day. And I mean, they're already online. And those videos, I share some articles and information about, you know, proving the 10 toes spoken by Daniel chapter 2 are lining up as we speak. And by the way, getting back to the healing, one of my videos just got blocked again. Years ago, that one video I did about the Roman Catholic commercial, YouTube pulled it entirely. All three of those videos, pulled them entirely, and then, you know, limited my account for years. Now, they didn't pull this video, the one where I show all the Nazi soldiers were making the Vatican salute to the Pope. they pulled the video, well, actually they censored it to where a bunch of countries can't see it. One of them's Germany, of course, because it's Nazis, and the other one's Israel. You know why they're, right? They don't want the Jews to know the Pope is actually behind all their deaths. So you can't watch that video in Israel. My video. Well, little did they know, they can't block John 14:29. So anyway, getting back. Regarding the 10 toes spoken of Daniel in chapter 2 lining up as we speak, that's already happened. It's already on paper. They're just waiting for the other shoe to drop before making it official. I also have a newsletter that I did way back in 2008, June of 2008, where I titled it. It's one of my newer newsletters. I used to do this really old newsletter. Then I did the internet newsletter. Then I got this new one, what I call new version. It's this one was titled Caesar's Herods. That shows how the U.S. government has been working hand-in-hand with Rome to create the New World Order, or as prophecy calls it, the Ten Toes Daniel. That's the New World Order. And yes, Rome will have complete control over all 10 of those Herods. In fact, the Vatican has already stated in writing that they plan to assume the position of Caesar. It says, and I'm not going to read the source on this because the source is actually way longer, maybe four times longer than the quote. And the quote is, superior papal authority and dominion is derived from the law of the Caesars. In other words, the Pope's authority is that of Caesar. And then this next one was actually stated by Pope Pius IX. He said, the Caesar, who now addresses you, and he's talking about himself, he says, to whom alone are obedience and fidelity due. And he said that in his discourse, say, on page 253. So the prophet Daniel said long ago in Daniel chapter 2, verses 41 to 5, whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of the potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of iron. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Well, that's today in a nutshell, because a lot of people don't get along with each other, and they're weak, very weak nations are involved with some of the whoppers, like us. And it says, and goes on, it says, and whereas thou sawest iron mixed with clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave to one another, even as iron is not mixed with clay, and that's why I said they don't get along with each other. But listen to this, he goes on to say that in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, amen, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. But, and oh, by the way, and that kind of destroys their 1,000 years of peace on earth, where they said Jesus Christ is going to reign on earth and then let some of the people rule for him. Well, that one prophecy blows that right out of the water. But going on, it says, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Okay, that's another one that blows that prophecy out of the water, because they say it's only going to last 1,000 years. Well, this is the eternal kingdom, New Jerusalem. Going on, it says, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, no man's going to be involved in this one. So it's cut out without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, and the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. And so that's the end of the world. When that mountain comes out of the sky, that's, of course, the second coming. So the kingdom being referred to here stands forever is, like I said a moment ago, New Jerusalem. But again, to go into detail here would entail quite a bit to show how every aspect of the prophecy in Daniel 2 does end up speaking of our day. So, if you have yet to do this study and you're new to this truth and you want all the particulars and definitions of each prophetic symbol in this passage, see my Dream of a King page on the website that's linked out in box number 7. Pastor Craig also has a sermon series that he did, and he's actually still doing, and it's on our sermon page on the Remnant of God, as well as SDRMinistries.org. But I'm not going to go into defining each detail here, as I assume most listening have already done their homework so as to keep their lamps well-trimmed so they'd be ready for that latter rain. So you already know the 10 toes mean 10 nations that form a one-world government that comes to fruition right before Jesus gets here, right? So to summarize, what Daniel's saying here is that when you see the 10 nations forming a one-world government, a new world order, you know, like Rome calls it. And actually, Hitler was the first one to use that term under papal authority. He was the first one to use, well, he says my new order, but now it's just called New World Order. But anyway, when you see this going forth, forming the one world government, you know we are on the precipice of the Lord's return. But when they actually start removing sovereignty from nations, and especially the USA, wherein the mark of the beast is going to be enforced first, then you know time has already fallen over the precipice, and it's not long before we see the plague start. If you've seen my New World Order page, which is also linked out below in box number 7, as well as the many videos on that topic, you've already seen the following quote that I'm going to share that boldly declares we were on the precipice of the end back in 1968. But for the sake of those new to the end time truth, I'm going to share this quote one more time. It says, and the headline is, Adaptive Model of the Global World System. Okay, and it says this. The Club of Rome had its beginnings in April of 1968, when leaders from 10 different countries gathered in Rome. The organization claims to have the solutions for world peace and prosperity. But boy, they got to kill a lot of people to get to the peace, right? Didn't Daniel say that by peace he'll destroy many? That's what they're doing now. They're doing all these false flag attacks so that they can have their new world order. Anyway, it goes on to say that the Club of Rome has been charged with the task of overseeing regionalization and unification of the entire world, or unify in Latin is Catholic, right? So the club's findings and recommendations are published from time to time in special, highly confidential reports, which are sent to the power elite to be implemented. In other words, only the guys that had the power to do it, they're the ones that get to read the documents. Anyway, on September 17th, 1973, the club released one such report entitled Regionalized and Adaptive Model of the Global World System. The document reveals that the club has divided the world into 10 political economic regions, which it referred to as kingdoms, just like the prophecy said. So as is obvious via this document put out by the Club of Rome decades ago, who has, in fact, already created a one-world court system back in February of 2001, and I have a few newsletters about that, but my March 18th, 2001 newsletter goes into a lot of detail about it, and it's linked out in box number 7. It's called the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court. That's that newsletter. Anyway, Rome had to set up this court before being able to set up the 10 kingdoms that Daniel describes as toes. And before any of this can be ratified into existence, one nation has to take the first step towards giving up their national sovereignty so as to get all the other nations that are part of the Club of Rome to go ahead with it. And many of you know about my videos about the TPP meetings, you know, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I go into detail about the reason for its existence in those videos that I did about the 10 toes. But to summarize, it allows for those in power to not only remove sovereignty of their nations, it also causes them to format or make their nations emulate the corporate structure of the United States of America, which is what everybody wants to emulate anyway. In short, we are no longer a nation in America. We are a massive corporation that buys and sells goods to the highest bidder, and with the TPP set up, anyone joining on can create a massive influx of billions of dollars into their nation once they agree to drop sovereignty to be part of the New World Order, because that's the only way it's going to work. But someone had to step up and do it first. And since the USA has already done the corporate end of it on November 5th, just a few weeks ago, Obama did in fact sell out the U.S. government's sovereignty. Headline, Obama trade hands over U.S. sovereignty to international panel. That's their headline. I didn't write that. And I'm just going to read a little bit of an excerpt here. It's a good 30-second excerpt, maybe 20 seconds. It says, the Trans-Pacific Partnership Commission would have the power to write rules concerning immigration, food, energy, medicine, the internet, copyrights, patents, and businesses within the U.S. borders as well as across the rest of the commission's membership. And it's no mistake they're mentioning the internet and copyrights. You know they're going to change copyright law, right? They have to, because it's gold in our hands. You know, we can show people, look, this is what they said, this is what they did back in this year, that year, this year, whatever. Rome's already doing it on all their videos. You can't use their videos, or so they say. But those laws haven't been passed yet. So they obviously know the law is going to be passed. That's why they've already got it set up in their videos in regards to their strange copyright comments. And the SDA Church does it too in Adventist Review. That's why you got to use absolutely every little detail that they say to use, in order, otherwise you're going to get busted for infringement. But anyway, it goes on to say that Congress would have no role in creating or approving the rules the commission writes unilaterally. A requirement that any objection to one of the commission's decisions be made in writing within 5 days effectively excludes congressional input, because none of our congressmen can ever get anything done in 5 days, right? I mean, it's just crazy. So they set that up on purpose. The agreement negotiated by the Obama administration allows the commission to act entirely in secret. The commission has the sole power to establish rules of procedures for the conduct of its work, but the commission is not required to notify the public regarding when it meets, the subjects it is deliberating, or how it reaches its decisions. Absolute secret society here, right? One of the reasons Kennedy got shot, because he didn't like here, you know, he didn't like him. Going on, the commission's decision-making process is particularly troubling. The commission can refer matters to a staff working group, and that group will be empowered to reach a final decision without input from all the member countries, including the U.S. In other words, a group with the Trans-Pacific Partnership Commission that does not include the U.S. could reach a final decision affecting the U.S. without the U.S. being present. Not only is the U.S. Congress cut out from decision-making, the U.S. itself could find itself overruled into the international rulemaking body created under the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. This, that article, by the way, is linked out as is the excerpt from it in the box. It's in box 12. You can get the link to that article if you want to read all of it. But what this means is the United States of America has officially given up its sovereign authority over business transacted within its borders, as well as business transacted outside its borders, even if it affects us personally. As per writing of the agreement, this includes all international or New World Order rules concerning immigration, food, energy, medicine, the internet, copyrights, patents, and businesses. So it's not just business. In short, every and any nation in the New World Order will be ruled by someone else that has been secretly placed in that position of power without the knowledge of the people under which he rules. That's, in other words, what I call one of the 10 heralds, or Herods, rather, you know, that newsletter I did back in 2008. This is what they're talking about. And this will also go global, as prophesied, because, as usual, Satan uses money to move the legislation, you know, easily, you know, every time you turn around. I mean, soon the other member nations will follow our lead and drop sovereignty, because every nation on earth likes how America does things and how rich we have become doing it. Everything from our corporate structure to Hollywood insanity is what they have all grown accustomed to emulating, because all of them have already bowed to the Pope when John Paul II demanded as such during his 27-year pontificate, wherein he traveled to every nation he could to bring about the agreements from just a handful when he took office to 175 at his death. Not long after the nations that have joined with Rome in the New World Order, we will start to see all over all the other nations that refused at, you know, first to sign on to the TPP, they'll be clamoring to get their pen to the paper when they realize how much money can be made during, you know, turning their nations into corporate businesses, as the USA has done, especially when it's global. I mean, I think there's only like 17 nations doing it now, and it's like it was somewhere upwards of 40% of the global income. Hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars through these 17 nations. Now, if they do this globally, when they're gonna, prophecy's gonna be fulfilled. It has to be. It's going to be trillions. And only 10 men are going to be running things for one man. So they're going to have their Herods, and we're all going to be under a Caesar. It is then those 10 Herods will have their prophesied duties handed them. And not long after that, the stone that Daniel saw in the prophecy that is cut out without human hands, it'll pulverize the entire planet. And all those nations will fall. And then the eastern sky will split. And this will all be over. And I hope and pray you are blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. If you can heal, we'll finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with the prophetic word so that we can be ready for what's already begun. Thank you for giving us the courage, the faith, the discernment, the wisdom, the understanding, and the desire to do what you would have us do. We know that many are going to be called, but few are going to be chosen to actually do the work, and we want to be that few. Let us be in that number, Father. Please bless us with that latter rain. We want to see you glorified. Many of us, especially myself, have lived through, you know, the last few decades seeing some massive changes in society. It's nothing like it was when I was a child, and it's certainly nothing like it was when I was a teenager. This world has changed in a very graphic manner, and it's all due to your scripture. Thank you so much for that and letting us see in advance how it just unfolded. So please guide us on this path you have us on, Father, and keep us safe while we're on it. Thank you for forgiving us when we fall short and blessing us with forgiveness. And thank you for blessing everyone that's in attendance today and all those that are on the radio or, well, the phone messed up. But we thank you for blessing everyone that's going to be hearing these truths in the days to come. And thank you for keeping us online as long as possible, letting us fly under the radar as long as possible. And when we go offline, thank you for blessing us with discernment to understand exactly what you would have us do to go forth. Because we are going to obey you rather than men. And thank you so much for accepting this prayer in the name of your Son, who is our Savior, our King, and our commander in this holy war, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.